The Bible says, Jesus speaking to the disciples, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Father, we ask and pray this evening that you'd continue to help us by the Holy Spirit to understand these wonderful words that our Lord Jesus Christ uttered. Help us, Lord, I pray, bless your word to our hearts, and help us to be attentive and ready, also to be good listeners and to be ready to respond to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, we all have the desire to have our prayers heard by our Heavenly Father, and it is our Heavenly Father's great desire to hear our prayers. Prayers like petition prayers, making requests made known to God. This is when I'm anxious and worried and perhaps burdened down, time where I can cast all my cares upon Him. The Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication." But also prayers like personal prayers. These are prayers that we are seeking God's will for, imperative decisions that would simply be coming in our lives, or we'll be faced with in our lives. Personal prayers. A man of God once said, "Nothing lies outside the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God." These personal prayers, and by the way, I want to stress this point, that is important to understand that if we having our prayers heard, it has to be according to the will of God. Amen. And so this is very important. It's not just asking anything. It's asking things that are according to His will. But also prayers as pleading prayers. These are interceding on behalf of others. Perhaps when a brother is burdened in sin or dabbling in sin, or perhaps when a non-believer is counting the cost regarding coming to Christ, you know, Paul said in Romans chapter 10 that he had a desire, his prayer and desires that Israel may be saved. And then in 1 Timothy talking about how that God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so perhaps we'd pray that prayer, that they'll come to the knowledge of truth, pleading on behalf of others. But there are some things that would hinder our prayers, no matter what kind of prayers they are, whether they're personal, whether they're intercessory prayers, whether they're prayers of crying out to God. There are some things that will hinder us from reaching the ears of God. And we look at the scriptures, we'll find a few things that will encourage us to make sure that we do have our prayers heard and not hindered. And looking in our text of John chapter 15, verse 7, the Bible there mentions, "If ye abide in me." So, first of all, we need to realize that we need to continue to walk in Christ. We need to continue, that's what that word means, to stay, to continue in, to remain in, to continue to walk in the Lord. The Bible says, as ye, I believe in Colossians, it talks about that as ye have trusted the Lord, walk ye in Him. So if I've received Christ, continue to walk in Him. And that's actually Colossians 2:6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." And so it's vital that our relationship with God will continue, that we'll continue to abide in Him if we desire to have our prayers answered. By the way, when we are abiding in Christ, a lot more happens than just answered prayer. Go into the chapter diligently, but things like if we abide in Christ, the following blessings will take place. We can do all things through Christ. All things through Christ, which strengthens us. Verse 5, notice there, verse 5. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth" what? "Much fruit." For notice this phrase, "For without me you can do nothing." And so we can do all things in Christ, which strengthens us if we continue in Him. Bear much fruit. Verse 8, bring glory to God. And notice verse 11 as well. Notice verse 11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be" what? full. The Christian life may be narrow, but it leads to life, and that's joy. The Christian life might be tough, but it leads to God's grace and God's, with us. That's joy. Christian life might be a life of self-denial, but we get to follow Christ and walk with God. That's joy. Christian life might be a life of giving, but it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's joy. Christian life might be a fight, but it's a good fight. And by the way, we know who wins. Amen? That's joy. And the Christian life might be a life of surrender and sacrifice. But our names are written in heaven. Now that's joy. Amen. And so we see that we need to continue to walk in Christ, continue to abide in Him. But also we see that we need to continue in His Word. Notice the second part of that verse, John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now to have the Word of God simply abiding in us means to have the Word of God hiding in our hearts. We come to the point of our lives that we're meditating upon it. It's in our hearts. It's there. We know it. We don't only simply hear it and let it go, but we hold on to it in such a way where we're chewing on or meditating upon the Word of God. And by the way, by doing that, you know what the Word of God encourages us? It teaches us and admonishes us. Notice what the Bible says in Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns. I don't know about you, but I was edified, and the Word of God taught me so much by that wonderful special just then. It's wonderful. Amen. Just meditating upon the truths of Him being our Abba, Father, that is just a wonderful thing, but we need to continue with the thought of what we've heard in the special, or what we've heard in our devotion, what we've heard from Brother James, what we've heard from the preaching. We need to continue to hide it, meditate. Don't let those things go, especially what God brings to your attention. Amen. It's so easy to let the things go or be distracted or palm it off or do something. And so we need to hide them in our hearts. And by the way, hiding the Word in our hearts, letting God's Word dwell in our hearts would also bring us to the point where we don't sin against God. The Psalm mentions that Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I may not what? Amen? And so we see a man, Joseph, no doubt, was a man that perhaps was hiding God's Word in his heart because he was fleeing from messing around. And so we see that if we hide the Word in our hearts, we would not sin against God, but at the same time, our prayers would not be hindered. The Bible says in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not what? He would not hear me. So unconfessed sin in our lives will stop us from walking uprightly, and in return will hinder our relationship and communication with God. And by the way, that's what prayer is. It's not just a matter of having our prayers heard. It's walking and talking with God. Amen. That's special. That's a blessing. The psalmist said in 84:11, at the end of that verse, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk what? Uprightly. Amen. All right? What a blessing to have answered prayer happen in our lives. And then thirdly, the purpose of hiding the Word in our hearts, abiding in with us in our hearts, is that we get to hear it and propagate it. We get to do it. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:9, listen carefully, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Okay, so this, what's this talking about? This kind of hearing is to hear, listen, with a heart to do. It's a purpose of, I want to retain what I'm hearing, and I want this to dwell in my heart for the purpose of propagating. I want to do it, Lord. I want this to be done. It will be a sad thing when we come under the Word of God and we hear the Word of God without meditating on what's said in order to respond to the Word of God. Responding to the Word of God is a blessing. It is. If we don't respond to the Word of God, we'd miss out. We'd miss out in every sense of the word, but most of all, what the Bible mentions here, we won't have our prayers answered. And if you want to just go a little bit further, God says it's an abomination. Let me just say this. if we want to simply have our prayers heard, we need to take God's word seriously. And then God will take our prayers seriously. And most of the times, we perhaps don't come with a heart that's ready to respond, because I know in my life, I haven't prepared my heart to respond. You know, sometimes you can even come to sing, listen, and you don't sing in such a way where you're meditating upon on the word, because you're not here. You're here, but you're not here. And so you're singing and you don't even know what's been sung because it's common to you. And so, you know, when we come with a prepared heart, it's easy to respond because we're focused. Ezra 7:10 said, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it." And so what a blessing when we prepare our hearts. Spurgeon once said, "Philip was a searcher after Christ in a place where Christ loves to be, in the pages of Scripture." And you must have the same if you desire to find Christ. So I'm looking in the pages of Scripture because I'm seeking for truths. I'm seeking to know God more. I'm seeking to see what the Lord Jesus Christ mentions, because I want simply to find the truths that God will speak to my heart. In other words, every time I read the word, I desire the word of God to speak to me. Amen. Well, at least I need to. Amen. And God will take my prayers seriously when I take his word seriously. If we love the Lord Jesus Christ, then we must do everything he orders and ordains. He said it himself, that if you love me, keep my what? Okay, so if we must be interested in everything that he orders and ordains. And in the passage that we're reading, and I can't read all the verses that I've put down here, but in verse 12, he mentions in John 15, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Amen. And so number one, I just would like just to point these things out, that he commands us some things here, and it's to have a growing love for the saints. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, you want to quickly turn there, leave your finger in John chapter 15, but turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:9. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Notice what the Bible says there. "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." A beautiful reference here regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus taught us to love one another. Amen? Amen. God in the flesh. And then he says in verse 10, "And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia." He says, you're doing it. You're doing it. But he says, "I beseech you, brethren, that you what? Increase more and more." Have a growing love toward the saints. And then have a growing love towards the sinners. Allow me just to use this principle from Proverbs 21:13. "Whoso stoppeth his ear at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." Let me just use that as a principle, because we understand that the world without Christ are poor. And so we need to simply be praying for the lost. We need to be reaching the lost. And also, this is a vital one mentioned even tonight, a growing love for our spouse. Not only for the saints, not only for the sinners, but for our spouse. First Peter, Colossians 3:1 says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." First Peter 3:7 mentions, "Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not what? Hindered. Our love for our wives needs to be growing, not stagnant, needs to grow. A growing love. The Bible mentions that our prayers will be hindered if we're insensitive to our wives. If we have an insensitive spirit toward the needs of our wives, our prayers will be hindered. And then we don't only see that we need to continue to in Christ, in his word, continue in his love, but also we need to continue in faith. We need to continue in faith. If we want our prayers to be heard and not hindered, we need to be a people that walk by faith. Notice John 15:7. "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. By the way, if we continue in Christ and continue in his word, our faith will be strengthened. George Mueller was a man of faith, no doubt. He said this, he said, I believe God has heard my prayers. He will make it manifest in his own good time that he has heard me. I have recorded my petitions that when God has answered them, his name will be glorified. Man, this guy was a man that knew that God was going to answer his prayers. Because he would have had a vibrant walk with God. He would have continued to walk in Christ and continued to allow the word of God to be in his heart. Matthew 21:22 says, "In all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, and shall receive." And a life that is lived by faith will help us to pray in faith. So in other words, if I'm walking by faith, trusting the word, trusting the Lord, then it will be easy for me to pray in faith without doubting. Because I'll have the confidence in Christ. I'll have the confidence in word. By the way, the gospel, faith is born when the gospel is simply shared or preached or proclaimed. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's when faith is born. But faith can also be strengthened when I hear the word of God. It strengthens my faith. You have doubts about some certain issues that you've been faced with. Go to the word of God and let God strengthen your faith. You've been rattled by someone or some false prophet or some false teaching. Go back to the word of God and see, and God will encourage your heart. He'll strengthen it. He'll say, "Oh, and that's it's wonderful." And so, to have our heart strengthened by the word of God will help us pray in faith. We'll have the confidence. And let me close with Mark chapter 11, and we're done. Mark chapter 11. I just want to point out just a few things in Mark chapter 11 here. In verse 1, this is when Jesus prepares for the triumphal entry here, and he commanding his disciples get a donkey or colt. Notice in verse 1, he says, "And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never a man sat." That's special. "Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send him hither." Wow. He even knew what the man was going to do. Right? Now, notice in verse 4. "And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And a certain of them came, stood there, and said unto them, What do ye loosing the colt?" Verse 6. "And they said unto them, even as Jesus," what? "Had commanded." And they let him go. He says, what are you trying to point out here? I'm trying to point out that these disciples that were disciples indeed, save Judas, and that's what Jesus said to the Jews that believe, that if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, right? And so I'm just pointing out that these ones just went at the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, go. He said, go. He said, loose him, bring him. And if that man says anything, tell him. Man, every sense of the word of their actions, go, come, bring, talk. The Lord was the Lord of their life. He was the Lord. They were walking with Christ. When Christ commanded them, they would go. They would act, no ifs, no buts. They believed the Lord. And they said everything that the Lord had commanded them. The guy let it go. And the disciples would have just been thrown back at that particular situation just right there and there. It would have been just amazing to them. And then notice verse 12. And he says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it," by the way, he knew that, but he was just trying to help the disciples, this wonderful illustration that it was going to give him. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, unto it, the tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the disciples," what? "Heard it." They took note of what was going on. Notice verse 20. "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. What did Jesus say? And answered and said unto them, Have faith in God." And he goes on to say, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." And again, this is according to the will of God. Amen. It's not according to our own lust. We don't pray to consume upon our own lust. We pray. We don't pray amiss, but we want to pray in the will of God. And when we pray in the will of God, we need to continue in Christ, continue to walk in, with Him, continue to have the Word of God hiding in our hearts, and to continue to pray in faith. You know what Jesus was trying to show these disciples by using the illustration of the fig tree? The power of God and the authority of Jesus Christ. You say, what do you mean the authority of Jesus Christ? Look at verse 28. "These priests and scribes and Pharisees came up and say, they say unto him, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave these thee this authority to thee?" You know what this whole chapter was about? Authority. Talking about cleansing the temple, authority. He came in with zeal that was just eating him up. Go get that colt. Who's that man? That's another thing I want to know when I get to heaven. Not only what did he simply write on the ground, but Lord, who's that guy? Happily, he'd take him. The Lord commanded. Wow, I'd love to know who that person is. It's wonderful things, just, you know, things like that, you know. But what Jesus was trying to show these, I have the power and I have the authority. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We pray to the Heavenly Father and we pray in Jesus' name according to His will through the Spirit of God. How do we pray through the Spirit? We need to walk with God, have the Word of God abiding in us. Walk in the Spirit. Walking with Christ, having the Lord order our steps according to His what? Word. You know, He says something here, and He says in verse 23, He says, "and shall not doubt in his heart." Did you know that just a touch of doubt, just a grain of sand of doubt, would hinder your prayers? So you say, what are some of the things that will cause us to doubt when we pray? Unconfessed sin, that's a slap in the face. When I know I'm not walking with God like I should, when I know that the Lord has commanded something and I'm not obeying, these are some of the things that will just no doubt cause us to doubt when we pray. So what do I need to? I don't want my prayers to be hindered. I don't want a doubt in my heart. I want to pray with faith. So without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. We're closing with one verse, 1 Timothy 2:8, and we're done. 1 Timothy 2:8. It says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. This is the walking in Christ. This is when you're praying everywhere, you're walking with the Lord, you're talking with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
This is being sensitive in that area. Lifting up holy hands. This is simply confessing sin in my life. This is having the word of God cleanse me from things that would just take place in my life. And then John 15:3 says, now you were clean through the word which I spoken unto you. And God helps us through his word cleanse our thoughts and thinking. He's able to renew this mind. Amen?
Amen.
But notice as we continue to read, lift up holy hands without what? Without what? Okay, this is an element of forgiveness here, isn't it? So in other words, this is loving others, continuing love, and without doubting. And I truly believe that if we walk with the Lord, if we pray everywhere, take the Lord, walking with the Lord, if we have the word hidden in our hearts that we don't sin against thee, our hands are clean, short accounts with God, if we have love, we continue in love. We're not wrathful. We're not bitter against our wives. We're not bitter against others or frustrated at others. We're willing to forgive. We will not doubt. We'd have faith. If we, I don't want to complicate this. Just to come back and with all simplicity, walk with Christ. Have the word of God affect your heart. Respond to the word of God. And as you walk with the Lord, your faith will be strengthened. You know, I can even walk with the Lord to the point to say, Lord, look, I'm so sorry. Daddy, please forgive me. I just take the Lord everywhere. As I mentioned to you this morning, and I'm even guilty of not taking the Lord everywhere. But I want to take him everywhere. I want to kneel down by the side of my bed and call him God and give him reverence. And I want to simply be driving and calling my friend and talk to him. But what a wonderful day we had today in the prisons, Lord. What a wonderful day. And I want to sit on the bed at midnight and say, Abba, Father, I messed up today. I sinned. I got frustrated with my wife. I'm sorry. That's walking. That's continuing in Christ. That's having the word affect my heart. You know, when you've been bitter again, you know, hiding the word in your heart, the more scripture you know, the more effective it's able to simply smite you and you're able to repent. Amen?
Sure. Amen.
We're just walking by faith. And when I pray, I don't have to, they won't be hindered. I'll be able to be strengthened because I'm walking with the Lord. I'm being transparent with him. God loves transparency. He said to a dear friend the other day, God doesn't get sick of you approaching him about your struggles. And that could be a snare to us. Oh, I'm going to come with him again with this? Absolutely. The worst thing that you can ever do is not. I just need to come and say, Lord, give me victory. Teach me how I can get victory. I don't want this besetting sin, this weight to hinder me from knowing your will. Lord, I don't want my prayers to be hindered. I want my prayers to be heard. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray.